Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Ben and Woods, good morning to you. Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. There were a number of people last night before the Monday Night Football game that seemed like they were trying to jump on the Jets bandwagon, calling for a potential upset. I saw 24-23 Jets. We're riding here. Sam Darnold, they're at home. This is a big game. Maybe the Patriots a little let down after a 6-0 start. They could not have been more wrong, as that game got out of hand so quickly and so completely that it may go down as the ugliest football game of the season in terms of mismatch in the NFL. And that's saying something.
It was horrible. And I it was so funny because I asked my wife, I go, hey, so here's the line on the game. And I said, it's Jets plus 10. She said, what does that mean? I said, so when the game starts, it's already 10-0 Jets. She goes, I go, should I bet that? And she said, no, I'd stay away from it. And I said, all right, I'm going to take your advice. My buddy Maddie, who's a Jets fan, said, easy money. Jets plus 10 is an absolute lock. I'm like, I just don't feel right about it. I actually logged in. I looked at it, and I went, I can't do it. Thank God I did not put money on that game last night. And I'm sorry to those of you who did. It was over in 10 minutes.
The Patriots made Sam Darnold look like a junior varsity quarterback, like making his first ever start.
Seeing ghosts.
I'm seeing ghosts.
The Patriots were coming at him from all directions. He ended up turning the ball over five times, four of them interceptions, three of them just like back-footed chuck and duck lobs that were about as easy a picks as you're going to see in the NFL. It was just an all-around ugly performance. But at this point, Woods, you have to start wondering how good this 2019 Patriots team is. I think everyone assumed, well, they won the Super Bowl last year, but Tom Brady's getting older. You know, they weren't able to keep all the pieces from last year. They're obviously going to be more vulnerable this year than they were before. If anything, this might be one of the strongest teams of the entire Bill Belichick era, at least through 7 weeks. They compare very favorably to the 2007 team that went undefeated all the way until they lost the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. Defensively, going and looking at some of the advanced metrics, and you know, I don't know how they compute them, but you know, the DVOA and whatever it is, I don't know how it is, but better than like the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking one of the best defenses so far of all time in the NFL. And then you've got Tom Brady at quarterback on the other side. It doesn't even really matter what weapons he's got around him. If you've got that good of a defense and Tom Brady calling the shots on the other hand, how are you going to stop that team in the postseason? I have no idea.
Hey, the only thing that can stop New England is New England, you know, health, something like that. They just traded a second-round pick this morning for Mohamed Sanu, who is very fired up, has already tweeted on Twitter. He's ready to go. Threw out a LFG. You know what that means, Ben?
I do know what that means, yes.
Let's.
Well, this trade, I think, is very telling because Mohamed Sanu is probably not worth a second-round pick at this juncture in his career.
I mean, maybe.
He's okay. He's fine.
He's going to be great there.
But for the Patriots, he probably is because they now know, hey, we're a Super Bowl team. We just need a little piece or two. A second-round pick is nothing compared to,
well, especially for them. Who, you know, you ever see a team consistently draft in the 30s and get better every single year? Do you think they hoard and huddle around their draft picks in New England? They
I mean, a second-round pick for New England is probably the 64th pick in the draft.
Exactly.
Because they draft at the end of each round every year.
And every year!
While Mohamed Sanu had not done a ton with the Atlanta Falcons so far this season, with Matt Ryan and his quarterback, he immediately becomes, you know, put him in the rejuvenation machine.
No
doubt. Tom Brady is his quarterback here. Rest of the season, he goes from, what, 1-6 to 7-0. Immediately record-wise, I mean, that gives you just a complete boost. And it tells me that the Patriots absolutely have confidence that they are a Super Bowl team again this year.
Just as we're having this conversation, I happen to flip over to Twitter. Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, very well-respected for Bleacher Report, he just now tweeted out, the Patriots defense is the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right up there.
They're giving up less than 7 points a game.
That is insane.
That's ridiculous.
This juncture in the season.
They have allowed 48 points through seven entire games all season long. Just to put that in perspective, the Miami Dolphins had given up 49 points by midway through the third quarter of the first
game one.
And they had already had more points than the Patriots have allowed through seven entire weeks of the season.
It's incredible. I mean, it is. To watch them fly to the ball, and again, it's Belichick. It's totally Bill Belichick. The way that he has his team prepared every Sunday is, you wonder if it's too easy for him at this point. I mean, he is such a defensive genius. Sam Darnold looked like he'd never played quarterback before.
I ask you this. With Patrick Mahomes out, even with Patrick Mahomes healthy, it looks like the Patriots are going to roll through the AFC.
Yeah.
If you had to put money right now, Woods, you're the gambler on the show. If you had to put money down right now, would you take the Patriots in the Super Bowl or the NFC, the field?
The field.
It'd be really hard to bet against the Pats. It would be really, really hard to bet against them. Yeah, I'd put my money on the Patriots right now to win a 7.
Now,
I'll
give you the counter argument. Here comes the counter argument to that. And it's the fact that the Patriots have played almost no one in their 7-0 start to this season.
Sure.
Steelers, everyone thought, oh, wow, 33-3. Steelers have been terrible. Dolphins, 43-0.
Awful.
This is the Dolphins. Jets, the first time, 30-14. Bills, best team they faced. They actually
had a tough time.
They only won by 6, 16-10. Washington, 33-7. They're terrible. New York Giants, 35-14. They're terrible.
It's going to get harder.
Nothing. They have not played anybody
this season. Benny, it doesn't mean, though, that they're not going to roll right through to the Super Bowl, okay? Because with the...
Well, they're going to have the home field advantage.
Yeah,
you have to go through Foxborough now, which makes it almost impossible for another team to stop them from getting to the Super Bowl. But they haven't played a real team. Seahawks, a Saints.
They got the Browns. They got the Ravens. They got the Eagles.
Ravens will be a good game.
I think we asked Eric Adelson, someone, who was that first loss going to be? And the Ravens were maybe the pick. Baltimore's coming off that big win at Seattle on Sunday. They have to go to Baltimore. That's in 2 weeks. It's the Sunday night game on NBC. You know the Ravens are going to be John Harbaugh's good coach.
Yep.
Going to be absolutely fired up for that one to see if they can take down the Patriots.
And well, you know, we'll see that defense. We'll really see that true test of that defense with Lamar Jackson, because how do you stop that guy? If anybody can do it, though, it's going to be Bill Belichick.
So the best moment of the game last night, Ben Woods talking about Monday Night Football, the blowout last night at MetLife Stadium.
Same ghosts.
Best moment, that was the best post-game moment, Sam Darnold, but the best moment came in the fourth quarter on a meaningless punt. With the Patriots leading 33-0, they were like at that, 30-yard line almost, but they didn't want to kick a field goal. It's just, let's not get anyone hurt. Let's not do anything dumb. They're just going to kick it away. But Bill Belichick wanted to give his punter a little more room. So he took the delay of game penalty. Adam Gase, on the other side, declined it. Like, oh, no, we're not going to let you off the hook that easy. Bill Belichick kind of stared over with his, you know, implacable look as he does. And then clearly told his offensive line, okay, someone jump offsides.
Yep.
Your jump, false start, so we can take that penalty. Right tackle, jumped offsides, started laughing about it. They called, hey, false start on the offense. Looked over at Adam Gase, decline. Declined it again.
I missed this.
Okay, so then Bill Belichick, and you never see this. Camera's tight on Bill Belichick. He just goes into this smirk.
I saw the smirk.
The smirk of, okay, this is how you're going to play it. This goes into the memory banks now. They don't play the Jets again this season, but however long Bill Belichick remains the coach of the New England Patriots, you know, he already kind of hates the Jets the way it all played out the first time when he almost became the Jets coach. Never going to forget that. Adam Gase, never going to forget that. Hey, you're down 33-0. If I want a penalty, let me take my penalty
here. I'm taking the penalty.
Smirk, like, I am going to get you
I did see the smirk. I wasn't sure what the smirk was about.
I think that's what the smirk was about.
He looks like a serial killer. And the way that he handles his business, it's remarkable. That team, as much as I can't stand teams from the Northeast like that, Benny, that Boston area, I'm out 100%. But you have to tip your cap. They are a remarkable football team to watch.
So 7-0. Yeah, they've got the Cleveland Browns next week. See if they can complete the first half of the season. Of course, you know, the 49ers still undefeated as well.
Man, if I'm Baker Mayfield and I'm watching that game last night and I'm watching Sam Darnold on his ass most of the night throwing up picks like it's his job, I'm going to get that tight hamstring maybe a little bit. Yeah, it was bad.
So Woods, gnarly story. It's day one, game one of the World Series tonight.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the focus has shifted to this gnarly story that came out in Sports Illustrated.
Bananas.
With the Astros last night. And then their reaction to it, which really couldn't have gone over worse on social media. If you missed it, we'll get into the controversy. What happened in the locker room celebration at the end of the ALCS that has everybody up in arms this morning? That is coming up next on Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get our first check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Say good morning to Sue DeVincent. A couple orders of business here. Coming up in about 30 minutes. Going to play some Real or Fake this morning. Got tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood and a potential entry for a grand prize drawing trip to Vegas on the line. So if you're interested in competing against Woods and winning big prizes, better be tuned in at 6:50. Also, for all the tier ones who are up before the sun with us, we have a special announcement coming up at 8:20 this morning. An opportunity for you and the Ben and Woods program. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But special announcement coming up at 8:20 of something we're getting started this week coming up. So that's just a couple of orders of business here, Woods, as we get going. Now, day one, game one of the World Series today. I'm sure Major League Baseball would love nothing more than every sports station in America talking about them this morning. Talking about the incredible pitching matchup of Max Scherzer against Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg against Justin Verlander tomorrow. Talking about the Astros and trying to win a second World Series title. The Nationals being in the Fall Classic for the very first time. And yes, every probably sports station in America will be talking about the Astros this morning, but not for the reasons that baseball wanted them to. And it brings us to what happened, what was posted last night on Sports Illustrated by one of their very, very good writers. We've had her on the show before.
Stephanie Apstein,
very well-respected writer. And she posted a story about what happened in the locker room after Game 6 of the American League Championship Series, the Jose Altuve walk-off home run, the celebration. We're talking like, you know, an hour after the game.
Yep, in the locker room.
Still celebrating their American League pennant, getting ready to go to the World Series. And there was, according to Stephanie, an ugly incident that took place in the clubhouse.
Yeah, there was. And it was one of the weirder stories, I think, that I've ever come across. Assistant General Manager Brandon Taubman turned to a group of three female reporters, one of them wearing a purple domestic violence awareness bracelet, and yelled a half a dozen times, six times, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so effing glad we got Osuna." Now, if you know about Roberto Osuna, domestic violence allegations, domestic violence suspension, his ex-wife at the time, a mother of his three-year-old child in May of 2018, he was alleged to have thrown her down the stairs. Prosecutors did not prosecute because she moved back to Mexico. He was ordered not to speak with her for a year. He served his suspension 75 games. And was allowed to pitch in the postseason during that suspension. And everyone was kind of surprised when the Astros traded for Roberto Osuna. That being said, this story was weird because it's not really about Roberto Osuna. Sure, it's about his actions in the past, but the fact that that GM or that assistant GM was kind of flaunting it in their face, in these three women's face.
Well, he blew the game. There was no reason to be celebrating.
Correct. There's no reason to celebrate Roberto Osuna. He had just given up a two-run homer to tie it and got bailed out by the Altuve walk-off.
If you would have subbed in Altuve's name in these quotes, somewhat makes sense.
Makes sense. But the women were pretty taken aback by it. So she writes this article. It comes out. People immediately are like, they're calling BS on it. Well, then it gets corroborated by not one, not two, but three other witnesses that were in the locker room and saw it happen. It's wild. So you think to yourself, all right, this is going to blow over. Because what's going to happen is the Astros will say, as you know, we take domestic violence very seriously in this organization. We have hung posters around the locker room and in every women's bathroom with the domestic violence hotline number on it. We're going to look into this.
We're investigating the matter.
Yep.
You know, obviously, yeah, we're very concerned about this. Make at least a show that you are caring and doing something.
Guys, and as much as it sucks, I mean, that's what good PR does. They are able to spin it and put out the flames a little bit, okay? Their statement says this. The story posted by Sports Illustrated is misleading and completely irresponsible. An Astros player was being asked questions about a difficult outing. Our executive was supporting the player during a difficult time. His comments had everything to do about the game situation that just occurred and nothing else. They were also not directed towards any specific reporters. We're extremely disappointed in Sports Illustrated's attempt to fabricate a story where one does not exist. Well, then it turns out that he was not being interviewed. There were actually no interviews going on right then. So that's a blatant lie. And that was corroborated, again, by these witnesses in the locker room. It's bananas. It's bananas.
Well, there's certainly there's some wiggle room in stories like this for what one person remembers, another person remembers going on in a busy locker room, the context of the whole situation. I'm sure that Roberto Osuna got asked a couple of questions. Here's the problem, and you mentioned it already. Many other people not affiliated with Sports Illustrated,
yeah,
not defending, you know, a competing publication, have come out before and now since the Houston Astros statement and said, no, Stephanie Epstein's reporting was spot on. I remembered exactly the way she wrote it. In fact, one of the reporters for the Houston Chronicle, you know, who covers that team in that town, probably has a, you know, pretty close relationship with players in that locker room, said, yeah, I probably should have said something even sooner. I'm sorry that I remained silent, but that is exactly what happened in that locker room that night.
It is crazy. To think that they would double down on that and put that really sanctimonious response out, it blew my mind. Doesn't surprise me, though, about this team. It doesn't. I mean, you know, I'm probably not fair and impartial here, Ben, but I will tell you this, man. After, you know, spending a week watching sanctimonious Astros fans talk about the Yankees being a trash fan base, a trash organization, et cetera, this is trash. I mean, this is absolute trash. Yeah, where's Lord Baseball in all of this? Like, Mr. Vogel.
If I'm an Astros player, if I'm an Astros employee, I'm upset this morning at my own organization.
There is no doubt. You're livid because what a tremendous, massive distraction this is before game one of the World Series.
And not one created by Sports Illustrated.
Correct.
Or Stephanie Epstein. One created by your own employee,
and
Brandon Taubman.
The same guy for the Houston Chronicle also sent out a tweet, Ben, that said, the level of celebration in the clubhouse and the actions that went on make me wonder if alcohol will no longer be allowed in the clubhouse. Apparently, that's how out of control it was. Okay, so let's play devil's advocate. Could you have understood if Taubman came out and said, guys, I was blotto, out of my mind. I was drinking champagne. I was hammered. I was acting like an idiot. I really was. And I want to apologize to those three women. I'm really sorry. I was a jerk. It's over, right? I mean, it's over. It's not. There's not this massive backlash. Whoever wrote this statement for the Houston Astros, I'd like to meet that person and look at him and go, what were you doing? Like, what were you thinking? It's 101. You don't inflame that situation. And listen, here's the deal. Even if you think that you're right, you still don't inflame that situation. Now, do you think this guy loses his job? To me, what it felt like with that statement was, we're going to protect our assistant general manager at all costs. We've got his back and not yours. The fact that it was corroborated by so many people in that locker room, guys, I mean, these are, you're talking about respected journalists in there, not you know, not people that haven't been doing this for a long time. It's wild. So it's, sanctimonious.
So bad, such a bad look that even though I picked the Astros to win the World Series when we were talking about it yesterday, you picked the Washington Nationals. It makes me not want to cheer for the Astros anymore. I actually now want the Washington Nationals 100%. To win the World Series. So I'm on the I'm now on the bandwagon of the Nats. Go ahead, make my pick wrong. Make me incorrect about my prediction for the World Series. I would love to see the upset now. And hey, getting Steven Strasburg a World Series ring doesn't bother me either. So, yeah, go Nats is what I'm saying right now after just trying to throw, you know, a well-respected reporter, a publication like Sports Illustrated under the bus, call their credibility into question.
Well, it's weird, Ben, because this isn't the first time this season something like this has happened. Remember when Justin Verlander had that guy, that other reporter wouldn't let him in the clubhouse in the allotted time and banned him from the clubhouse, which you absolutely cannot do. It's a violation of their agreement and free press and all of that. Who do these guys think they are at the end of the day? Who are you guys? And the attitude that, you know, you're so much better than everybody else with your spin rate and your you know, everything that you do to make yourself such a really good organization on the field. Off the field, they're a train wreck. So, get some analytics in PR.
So now that we're both on the Nationals bandwagon, we get to talk to Pete Medhurst from 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., part of their radio team, about their chances against the Astros, what it's going to take to knock off Houston and win the World Series, which begins tonight at Minute Maid Park. Pete's going to join us when we come back here on Ben and Woods. It's next on 97.3 The Fan. .97.3 The Fan going on the road this week for some high school football up to Valley Center, celebrating one town, one team. A little love from a part of the county that doesn't get enough. Jaguars football, Coach John Quintero going to kick off our coverage at noon. He's going to be right there in town, followed by Gwen and Chris broadcasting from the campus of Valley Center High School before our play-by-play coverage of Escondido at Valley Center at 7 p.m. Again, tune in this Friday. San Diego's number one sports station heads to Valley Center on 97.3. The Fan. We're going to talk Washington Nationals World Series Game 1 with Pete Medhurst from their radio team. That is coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Suda Vincent. And Woods, we're going to play some real or fake in just over 10 minutes. Chance for one of our listeners to win tickets to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. Be ready to call in. But until then, get you ready for Game 1 of the World Series tonight at Minute Maid Park in Houston. The Washington Nationals taking on the Houston Astros, and joining us right now on 97.3 The Fan from the Nationals radio broadcast team, does a pre- and post-game show. Pete Medhurst is with us on Ben and Woods. Pete, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. We're still trying to wonder, Game 1 of the World Series here in D.C., is it real or is it fake? And for the first time in franchise history, fortunately, it's real.
Well, it's nice to get that... get off that list, which now is a list of one. The Seattle Mariners, the only team in baseball that hasn't made the World Series. You don't want to be on a list like that, so no. It must feel good just to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to figure that a franchise has had Ken Griffey Jr. and Alex Rodriguez at one point. Felix Hernandez never made the World Series. But, you know, this franchise has been so close, played such good baseball over the last 10 years here in D.C., and the fact that, you know, losing Bryce Harper, many people felt that the team was going to take a step back. And through 2 months of the season, it certainly looked like it was. But, you know, this group turned it around in amazing fashion and finds itself, you know, plodding through success, and great comebacks has kind of been their mantra all season long. And obviously now the task is very tall and you face number 7 winning Houston team, but you're right, getting your name off that list and at least giving yourself a chance is what it's all about. I mean, we've seen great upsets before. I mean, the Nats are the biggest underdog since 2007. You know, the Reds were huge underdogs to the A's in 90 and swept them. So you just never know. Baseball is the game of great intangibles and so many variables. All it takes is a star player to have a bad week, and all of a sudden the team that wasn't necessarily favored to win all of a sudden finds itself the right side of the ledger.
Yeah, and I think for me, the most important thing watching the Nationals was just for them to get that monkey off their back, that just get through that first one. I mean, you talk about a team of talent for many, many years, kind of always there, right in the mix, and then it just they had this reputation as the guys that just couldn't close. And I know the guys in that clubhouse, it's not good enough for them. They want it all. What's been the mood around the team? And you know, if you've talked to any players or anything like that, how stoked are they? How fired up are they for this World Series?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, it's a very loose group. That's been the key to the whole thing since they were 19-31. They didn't tighten up. They stayed loose. The clubhouse stayed loose. Davey Martinez has been a huge key in making sure that those guys, you know, didn't put the weight of the world on their shoulders and just took one game at a time until they started digging themselves out of a hole. And, you know, because of the luxury tax, Mike Rizzo couldn't make the same kind of deals that he's made in previous years. He'd always made the right deal to strengthen the ball club in theory, and unfortunately it didn't work out. Now, facing a 50% hit on the luxury tax if they went over it, you know, Mike's been at the flea market looking for bargains like Gerardo Parra, who's just been unbelievable in terms of, you know, the clubhouse and loosening guys up that not necessarily the life of the party. I mean, a guy like Steven Strasburg now is as loose as we've ever seen him for the Nationals, and it's in such a positive way. You go out and get, you know, Texas inexplicably just lets Asdrubal Cabrera go, and Mike Rizzo's radar went, what? He got him literally within minutes of him hitting the waiver wire. He's been huge for this ball club. Needed help in the bullpen. Fernando Rodney, you know, at 42, yeah, he's going to have some bad days, but he's had more good days than he's had bad, so he helped come in and provide a role that obviously had been bad with Trevor Rosenthal, was still throwing 100 miles an hour, but he couldn't get it over to plate. And Kyle Bearclaw, for whatever reason, yeah, that guy's got a repertoire, but Miami, you know, Don Mattingly essentially ruined him last year. He pitched him darn near every day. At one point, he ended up closing, and by July, he was worn out. And unfortunately, he's not been able to find it since then, and that's such a gamble that he would. He just didn't. So Mike had to go shopping at the flea market and found some good bargains out there and guys that have made critical contributions to winning.
Talking to Pete Medhurst from 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., Washington Nationals, Game 1 of the World Series tonight. You talk about some of those pieces, Pete, but I saw a stat that 90% of the postseason innings for the Washington Nationals have come from just 6 guys. Oh, 3 starters or 4 starters, 2 bullpen guys, basically. That has been how they have kind of dodged their shaky bullpen in the postseason. The question is, can they make it through one more series without being exposed, which is, you know, obviously the biggest weakness of that team, highest bullpen ERA in the league. Can they get through a series against the Houston Astros without that coming back to bite them?
Well, I mean, I think that's why you go out and invest the money that, you know, Bryce Harper didn't want to take. You invest that money in Patrick Corbin. You've invested in Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. That's what you go out and get a veteran like Aníbal Sanchez to be your fourth starter for. Is for occasions like this. I mean, Sanchez's start where he nearly no-hit the Cardinals was amazing in the NLCS. But that's why you go get those guys. You're hoping that they can get you to the 6th and 7th. And, you know, Tanner Rainey, another guy, that young arm that they got in the trade for Tanner Roark in the offseason, this guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he has, at least in his last couple of outings, knock on wood, he's been the goods out there as well as a bridge to get to Doolittle and Hudson in the back end of that bullpen. But, you know, you go look at the consistency of Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin. Those are guys that are going to get you into the 6th and 7th inning. And, look, there's plenty of time to rest in the offseason. If you need Doolittle to get you 2 innings to get you to Hudson, or you need Doolittle to get 2 innings and maybe Hudson to pitch 2 innings, I don't think Davey Martinez will have an issue doing that, because – you can't win games two, three, or four of the series if you don't win your first one. So I think we've often seen managers change drastically in the playoffs and the World Series. David Martinez has been a guy that hasn't had to do that because the Nats build their team a little differently than most, where they've invested in starting pitching.
So we actually right now are talking to Pete Medhurst from 106.7 The Fan in D.C. You know, it's interesting, too, when you play the World Series, the Nationals, the National League team, they're going to get to employ the DH for the first couple of games. What do you think they're going to do there? Who do you like? You know, they got some pieces off the bench, guys that are actually pretty good players, like Brian Dozier. You think he'll get more looks?
Yeah, it's a huge. I think it's a huge advantage for the Nationals because now you get Howie Kendrick's bat in there as a designated hitter. You could play him at second, and if there's a favorable matchup, you know, for Matt Adams as a left-handed power hitter, maybe you play him. But I would think it's going to be Kendrick as the DH, and then either Dozier or as the switch hitting as Rubel Cabrera at second base. Cabrera had 43 RBIs in 40 games in Washington, so that guy's been amazing. Since coming over to the Nationals. So Davey Martinez now has some significant options, and at the same time, he can better himself defensively by putting Cabrera and or Dozier out there at second base with the designated hitter in the American League ballpark.
Obviously, Pete, we followed Steven Strasburg's career. You know, went to high school a few miles east of where we're sitting. Went to San Diego State. We can practically see it out our window from where we are right now. And he came into the league with, you know, a ton of hype as a number one overall pick and a flamethrower, as that great career he had under Tony Gwynn at San Diego State. But talk about just what you've seen up close with Steven Strasburg, the evolution from just dominant stuff to now a pitcher with kind of a complete game who's put together just remarkable postseason numbers this year and even before. His ERA, I think 1.1 in the postseason, just ridiculous, Pete.
Yeah, the maturation of him as a pitcher from what he does now, you'll notice, I mean, Steven is so good at changing the pitching pattern with his catchers against hitters. The attack now, he's not afraid to throw first pitch changeup or first pitch curveball. He's not afraid to throw curveball and changeup as his out pitch when, obviously, when he first came up in that big 14 strikeout, 7-inning performance against the Pirates in his career opener. You know, he was basically just blown away with a 98-99-mile-an-hour fastball. To watch the evolution, to see the cerebral portion of the game come together for him now, it's really been extraordinary to watch. I mentioned earlier, you know, with Gerardo Parra, you know, Steven's a guy that has always been kind of very regimented, very into his pattern, and he still is in terms of preparing for starts. But we're seeing Steven enjoying winning now, and I think that's something that outwardly, we didn't really see in the past from Steven Strasburg. We're seeing a guy that's really enjoying the fruits of his performance, and I think that's helped him even more. I think it's a little bit looser. It's a less tense Steven Strasburg out there, and as a result, you're seeing a guy that is bona fide, going to get votes for the National League Cy Young Award because of the quality that he brought to the mound and has even extended now even better into the postseason. He's just been absurdly good in the postseason here for the Nationals so far. And ironically, one of his best outings was his relief against Milwaukee. He hadn't done it since 25 relief appearances at San Diego State his freshman year there. And he came in like he's been pitching out of the bullpen his entire life and really helped keep them afloat until they could get that game even in the wild card game, or they're not even here.
Talking to Pete Medhurst from 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., talking a little World Series. And so you cover Max Scherzer. What's he doing right now? Pacing?
You know, I believe right now he is probably sitting there thinking about, okay, how am I going to pitch George Springer? Okay, how am I going to pitch, you know, Gurriel? How am I going to pitch Bregman? Altuve.
He's so intense
yeah,
on the mound. What's he like off?
Off the field, he's great. but he's competitive.
He's a lunatic.
He is competitive. It doesn't matter whether you're playing cards, fantasy football, whatever. That dude is competitive. I mean, we could be walking down the street. He's going to want to beat you to the curb. I mean, that's just how competitive he is. But you know what, though? And I say this a lot of times because I work with a lot of kids in sports and everything right now, too. We don't have people that teach this kind of competitiveness, and not that you have to be to the level of Max Scherzer, but Max Scherzer wants to compete at everything. If he's going to do something, he wants to be the best at it. He's going to be on national TV tonight. Millions of people around the world are watching. He's going up against Gerrit Cole, who's just had an absurd year for the Houston Astros. Max Scherzer's sole goal tonight is to beat Gerrit Cole and the Houston Astros. He's going to find a way to do that this evening. And that's what I enjoy about Max Scherzer is if you're a customer paying your hard-earned money to come park, buy a ticket, watch the game, you're going to get max effort out of Max Scherzer. And as a paying customer, that's all you can ask for. And I think sometimes, some nights in sports, no matter what the sport, I don't think we get that from some of the people that we pay our hard-earned money to go watch perform. But Max Scherzer is going to give it to you every time because he won't settle for anything less.
My prediction is that he's taking that silver cloche off a room service egg white omelet right now.
No.
Little spinach, little cheese, maybe some wheat toast. Hey, everyone's got to eat, Woods, on game day.
I bet you not.
Got to eat.
I bet you not,
hey,
man.
Pete, really appreciate the time. Good luck to also the Navy midshipmen. I know you call those games. We got a lot of great Navy town here in San Diego, and we carry those games here on 97.3 The Fan. So appreciate you spending some time with us, Pete.
Hey, it means a lot to have you guys on board as an affiliate. We really appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Cool stuff. Man. Pete Medhurst, 106.7 The Fan in D.C.
Scherzer actually right now he has a leg from a bear, and it's roasted it over an open flame in his room. And it's medium rare, and there's blood dripping down his chin. Have you seen the gifs of him going around on the mound, looking in, and he literally stand, and you can see him mouth, "I'm coming for you, you effing bee. I'm going to F you up." He's a lunatic. I cannot wait.
That's in like 11 hours, 10 and a half hours. It's breakfast right now.
No, it's not.
Breakfast, most important meal of the day. All right, start dialing right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We need a contestant. Fourth caller going to go up against Woods in a game of real or fake for a chance to win tickets to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. You know what surprises me, though, just quickly, is that tonight, game one of the World Series, that the NBA chose tonight to open their season opposite of the World Series. That their first two games, the Pelicans and the Raptors and the Lakers and the Clippers, will be going on opposite of a World Series game. And I go, why did you do that? You could have picked any other day. And I realized that's the weak spot in the sports schedule. You do it Monday, you're opposite Monday Night Football. You do it Thursday, you're opposite Thursday Night Football. They have to do it against the World Series to get their season started. That is
makes me sad.
Doesn't that make
it
you
makes
sad?
Me sad
that
as,
that
a, was, as a baseball
that
lover.
That wasn't an accident. They actually picked that and said, we're better off going up against game one of the World Series than
that
a
sucks.
Blowout Monday night football game or a crummy Thursday night football
prediction.
Game.
What does better in the ratings? Lakers, Clippers?
Lakers, Clippers.
The World Series or Lakers, Clippers?
Lakers, Clippers.
No, yeah. World Series. It's, Lakers, it's, Clippers, it's LeBron, Houston, Anthony
it's,
Davis.
It's yeah. Houston, Washington.
24 hours, we'll know.
All L.A.?
It's Houston, Washington. It
now, if it's
be...
a quick game, Lakers-Clippers, I don't think starts until like 7:30. So might not be really totally head-to-head. It's really the first game, which is Pelicans-Raptors,
well,
which
the...
is not,
no,
not all that intriguing from a national perspective.
Would have been without
Kawhi.
And without Zion.
No Zion, no Kawhi.
Yeah, Zion
that's
going...
a pretty mediocre matchup
yeah,
now
that's
to start
be tough.
The season. All right, let's get to play our game, and it's time for some real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Yep, got Halloween Horror Nights tickets at Universal Studios Hollywood, and our winner qualifies for a trip to Las Vegas, including a two-night stay at the MGM Grand. Tickets to Jabberwocky's Dreams, A Journey Within. Performances Thursday through Monday. We got Scott in Poway. Who's going to go up against Wood. Scott, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, let's get right to it. Five rounds. All you have to do is beat or tie Woods. Let's move fast here. Last night, we celebrated my wife's grandfather's 94th birthday.
Wow.
Respected, successful business family man. He's traveled the world, now has 14 great-grandkids. A couple more on the way, including my two boys. Well, 94, getting close to 100. That inspired me for today's edition of Real or Fake.
All
I will
right.
name a celebrity. You have to tell me if they lived to at least 100 years old, real, or didn't quite make it the full century.
I like it. I love it.
All right, so looking for 100-year-olds. Woodsy, you are up first. Let's go Lucille Ball, real or fake?
Fake.
Yep, only made it to 77. Man. All right, Woods, check mark for you.
Thank you.
Scotty, round one. Let's go with Kirk Douglas. 100 years old. Real or fake, Scott?
Fake.
Yeah, still with us at 102. Michael Douglas's dad going strong. All right, round two. Woodsy, let's go with George Gershwin. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
I thought you would. He died at 38, so no, not even close.
You just missed it, Woods.
Now, in my defense, he makes music for 100-year-olds.
Exactly. So that's what I thought would
38.
Be
38!
38!
Jesus. I outlived Gershwin.
Scott, round two for you. Bob Hope, real or fake, Scott?
Excuse me, that one's real.
That is real. Bob Hope lived to 100. All right, 1-1, round number three. Woods, Estelle Getty, real or fake?
Fake.
Yeah, she played the old lady on the Golden Girls,
but only lived
to 84. All right, Scotty, 2-1 is the score, round three. George Burns, real or fake, Scott?
Real.
Yeah, lived to 100. Very good. All right, 2-2. Here we go, round number four. Let's go a baseball one for Woods. Connie Mack, real or fake, Woods?
Real.
Yeah, died at 93. All right, Scott, you're in good shape. Let's go with Scott. Jessica Tandy, real or fake, Scott?
Hello, dear.
Fake.
Very good. Jessica Tandy driving Miss Daisy. Woods, round five. Irving Berlin, real or fake?
Fake.
That one's real. Lived to 100. Finally, Scott, you're in good shape. Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, former owner of the Angels. Real or fake, Scott?
Real.
No, but that's okay because by a score of 3-2, you have already won today's game of Real or Fake. Congratulations, Scott. Good job. And enjoy Universal Studios Hollywood. Thanks for playing.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Got you on George Gershwin.
You did. And 38.
You almost had him.
Ah, Gershwin, my favorite.
Very close. All right, we've got a lot to get to in our final 2 hours of Ben and Woods. Go through some of the NFL storylines. As we said, there's already been a trade this morning in the NFL. Could impact a Super Bowl contender. We'll have that for you. Some don't do this just ahead. Keith Law, ESPN's MLB insider, going to be with us as well. Half the show still to go on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.